Good morning, church.
Morning.
God's good, huh?
Yeah.
As I was listening to Roki, you know, I'm going to be talking a little bit about Jonah, but some of you have been here for the Pastor Bob's talks on running from God, and Roki kind of reminded me of Jonah. Keep saying no. But anyhow, listen, it's a pleasure to be here. I haven't been up here for quite a while sharing God's word. And I have to say that it is humbling, and I hope that that I do a good job for you today. I hope that the Lord is here with us and teaching us. So, but before I start, let me just pray for us. Our Father God, we come before you, Lord, and we lift you up. We give you the praise and the glory, Lord, and we thank you so much for all that you do, everything you do for us, Lord, from the cold drink of water to the meal that we eat, Lord. The relationships that we have, the friends that we have, Lord. We just thank you for it all, Lord, because you do it all. And Lord, you said where two or more are gathered, you would be with us. And we invite you right here, right now, Lord, to be here amongst us, your Holy Spirit to dwell in each of us, so that it be your words that are speaking and your ears that are hearing, Lord, that your word would come through clear, that people would be convicted as you would want them convicted, Lord, not as I would. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Before I get started, I think you need, does she need to turn me down a little bit? Am I too loud? No? Okay. All right. Well, now there are some notes out there. They're in pink. And I don't know if you got them or not, but I'm going to suggest that you get them because I'm not going to give you notes like Pastor Bob does. These notes will be for you and very personal as we move through today's message, and today's message is called Pride versus Humility. And that's why I did it that way, because sometimes we don't want to have everybody know what we need to change. So if you don't have, I see the Tommy's handing them out there, but that's what we're going to be talking about today, pride versus humility, because they are in conflict all the time. My pride jumps in many, many times, and then I have to make room for humility and such. And you know, and pride is an interesting thing, and we'll get into that some more. But it comes in all different forms, you know. And this is going to be silly, but that's okay. I can be silly, right? You know, I was trying to trim some fat off of a steak yesterday, and my wife says, "Be careful." And I said, "Well, I will." Well, no, I wasn't. So, and I'm bleeding, and it's bleeding pretty profusely. And she says, "You okay?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm all right." And I go in to try and put a Band-Aid on it, right? And you know, you're bleeding. I got it under the faucet so that the water is running on it to keep it clean. And she's in the kitchen, and I find some Band-Aids. You know, it's pretty hard to put a Band-Aid on with just one hand. And, you know, my pride, that, as small as that is, you know, my pride got in the way. I finally had to scream, "Hey, baby, can you come and help me?" And I had to lower my pride. I had to get rid of my pride so I could get healed. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, all right? And this is the first time that my lovely wife is ever going to hear me preach. Well, not ever, but I mean, this is the first time she'll hear me, so... And I'm going to try and not be like Pastor Bob and bring her into too much of it, because we haven't been married long enough to do that. So, but if you would open your Bibles to Mark chapter 2, verse 13 through 17. And I am going to, I just would like you to open your Bibles if you have them, because it's good to open your Bible and look and see what's there. But I'm going to read it to you, and I'm not going to read it out of mine because I have a large print Bible, but my eyes are getting to where I can't even hardly read that. So, but the scripture is Mark 2. Is everybody there? Okay. It says, "Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collection booth." He was a tax collector. Right? It was not a very popular guy amongst the Jews because he was the one that was collecting the taxes for the Romans, and when the tax collectors would collect a little extra for their own pocket. So they weren't real popular. And Jesus walked, he said, "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "Is it not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick? I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Okay. I'm going to go back to Jonah because, you know, if you remember the story, as Pastor Bob's been doing it, because we all run from God. And what is it that keeps us running from him? It's our pride. And I'm going to get into some things about what pride is. But Jonah, in his pride, you know, the Ninevites, he didn't like them, and he thought he was more righteous than they were. And so he decided that, nope, I'm not going to do that, like Rokey with the money. No, I'm not going to give him my $5. I'm better than he is. And besides that, I earned mine. And Jonah just did not like the Ninevites. And when we go into Proverbs, and I'm going to talk a little more about Jonah, but in Proverbs 16:18, it says this: "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall." Psalm 10:4 says, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Wow, isn't that powerful? And in Psalm 31:18, it says, "Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous." And that's what the Pharisees are doing. They're talking about Jesus. Why are you spending time with these people? It was their pride. They thought they were better than everybody else. And that's what gets us into trouble. That's what gets us into trouble. And Jonah, you know, Jonah finally subsided, right? He had to get put into the belly of the whale. He had to get put down so low that he had no choice but to come to God. It took that extreme to break him. And many times in our lives, the same thing happens. We need to be broken down. We need to hit the bottom before we're willing to give up our pride. The definition of pride, I'm going to read this to you. This is in the dictionary. It says, "A high or inornate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or as displayed in bearing conduct." The biblical description is this. The definition of pride is the absence of humility, as darkness is the absence of light, and a vacuum is the absence of atmosphere. Pride is a failure to accept and perceive the reality of our utter dependence on God. That's humility. That's pride. A failure to accept the fact that God is in control, that God created everything, that God is the one that we need to go to. God is the one that supplies. God is the one that supplied the $5 to the homeless guy. God is the one that supplied Rokey's donuts when he got here after giving up his money for his donuts. It is God that does that. As small as it may seem, God is so in control. The other pride is a peculiar kind of insanity caused by a lack of humility. And realistically, when you think about it, isn't it insane to be so prideful? In John 2:16, it says, I don't know if I got that one up there. Let me see. No. In John 2:16, it says this. It says, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world." So a lot of our pride and everything comes from the world, from the culture. The culture, you know, there in Galatians it says these are some of the things that pride keep us involved in. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Pride keeps us from forgiving. Our pride keeps us from admitting that we're wrong. Pride keeps us jealous. Pride keeps us in a state of envy. Pride keeps us self-serving and just worrying about ourselves. Pride is damaged when we don't have control. Isn't that when your pride really sticks up, is when you're not in control, when you think things should go one way and they end up going another way? Isn't that when your pride really rears its ugly head? And it does with me. It does with me. It is hard to be humble sometimes because we're always thinking about ourselves. Even if we're not doing it intentionally, we're doing it unconsciously. I am gonna talk about my wife a little bit because we have a problem driving. We both know how to drive, but when the other one's driving, we're always telling the other one what to do, where to go. Park here, park there. Well, why'd you do that? Why are you going like that? And as I was preparing this message, and she doesn't know I was going to talk about this, but as I was preparing this message, I was thinking about that. What is the problem with that? And our pride. It's my pride. And I'm not in control when she's driving. She is. But I still want to be in control. And my pride just won't let me let go of that. You know, our pride continues us in conflict. When we have a conflict with someone, where we have an argument, we have a disagreement, I'm not going to admit that I'm wrong. I'm not going to apologize. That person can come and apologize to me first. That's pride. That's pride. And with your pride, you stay bound up. You stay a slave to your sin. You stay a slave to the unforgiveness. You're nothing like Jesus Christ. Not even a little bit. Jesus Christ was humble. There was not a prideful thing in him. Now his disciples, there was pride in them. Like when Peter said, "No, Lord, you're not going to go die." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me." Jesus, you know, when his disciples were walking, even the disciples walking with him had pride and wanted to be God. Just like Jonah, when Pastor Bob was preaching about Jonah, you know, he thought he knew better than God. And pride sneaks in like that so much, and it is so ugly. And it just continues conflict and conflict and conflict. You know, and I was posting a lot of different things on Facebook at one time, political issues, things like that. And one of the things that I notice lately, and I've been trying to put on my Facebook page positive things about Jesus and stuff. But you see these people that come on Facebook, and I see Christians. I have friends that aren't Christians, and they post these things that are full of anger and hate. And where does that come from? It comes from our pride. It comes from not believing in God. It comes from thinking that we're smarter than God. We have more control than God does. And so what do? We conform to the way of the world, and we start publishing things publicly that are nasty and ugly, and it doesn't portray the Christian faith very well. And so, but it's our pride that does that. It's our pride that will kill us if we don't change. And so, I want to ask the question then, what sin is pride keeping you from giving up? That's on your first notes, your notes there. You know, it's how is pride keeping you in bondage? What are those things that we've talked about so far? Jealousy, anger, envy. What are those things? What, you know, I don't know what is in your heart. I don't know what thing there is in there that is letting you hang on to your pride, not to forgive someone, to let go of something. You know, it's like this box is dark blue, and somebody will come up and say, well, no, Pastor Dave, that box is light blue. Well, by golly, I said it was dark blue, and I'm not giving up. That's what I said, and you're not going to convince me to say something else, because I can't be wrong. I have to be right. See, that's pride. That's ugly, selfish pride. And there's no room for that in the church. There's no room for that in our hearts. Although, it sneaks up all the time. I see Christians all the time that they continue to hold a grudge. They continue to refuse to forgive someone. They continue to refuse to ask for forgiveness. Right? I mean, asking for forgiveness is important, because when you ask for forgiveness, that is the same thing as admitting that you're wrong. But when you don't do that, you get held bondage to that. You get held captive. You're locked up like this, and you don't have any freedom, because it's going to keep gnawing at your stomach. It's going to keep, and the thing is when you behave that way, it doesn't only affect like if I'm angry with my wife it doesn't just affect me and her, it affects my other relationships too. Because many times when you hang on to that bitterness, you hang on to that anger because you're so prideful, it comes out at your children. It comes out at your friends. And it comes out at your brothers and your sisters and all of it, and they're going, "Well, why is he so negative?" It's because I like that. Because my pride tells me, "No, I'm not going to change. I'm just exactly fine how I am. It doesn't matter if I'm miserable, and it doesn't matter if everybody around me is miserable. Because I'm not going to let go of that. Because if I do, well, then I have to admit I'm wrong. And I can't do that." See, pride just binds us up so tight, that we can't let go. We just can't let go. And, you know, the thing is, we're going to talk about how to let go of it. So we've talked about pride right now and how it keeps us in bondage. How do we get out of this bondage? And how do we get set free? Well, the answer is really quite simple. It's through humility, but not through our own humility. It's through humility through Jesus Christ. It's coming to Jesus Christ with a humble heart. And understanding, Lord, you know what? I have been bitter towards this person all my life. And Lord, I know that I'm wrong. And I'm going to come to you humbly and ask you to forgive me. Now, I don't know what your issues are. I don't know what they are. I don't know who you're angry at. I don't know who you need to forgive. I don't know who you're jealous of. I don't know who you're envy of. I don't know anything. Because those sorts of things that I was just talking about, we keep secret. We keep it in the dark. And it can't be set free until you bring it into the light. Okay? Here is the definition of humility. I thought this was very good. This isn't mine. I just want you to know this is not mine. Some people define humility as the absence of pride. They get it backwards because they don't understand that humility is the positive and pride is the negative. Got that? Humility is the positive and the pride is the negative, because the pride keeps you down, keeps you in bondage, whereas humility frees you, and that's why it's a positive. Pride is the absence of humility. Humility is the simplicity of seeing things as they are, that you are absolutely dependent on Christ the head and Christ the body. And Christ the body is right here. All right? And I'm going to get into that a little more. I'm going to get into it just a little bit more, the Christ the body. Humility is awareness of your need for every single experience and gift that Christ has given to the church, including the free gifts of forgiveness of sin. The free gift of forgiveness of sin. And so we receive that free. Shouldn't we offer that free? Shouldn't we offer forgiveness to people that have harmed us without expecting anything back? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what Jesus showed us when he hung on the cross? Is to forgive with no expectations? Forgiveness. But for us, when we forgive, we're set free. We're set free. Christ has given, okay, humility is awareness that you need for every single experience and gift that Christ has given to the church, including the free gifts of forgiveness for sin, water baptism, baptism in the Holy Spirit, imparted gifts of the Spirit, righteousness, holiness, redemption, freedom from slavery to sin. Freedom from slavery to sin. But you know, humility is something you have to work on because it just doesn't come. Because we do live in the flesh and we do live in this world. And the world says, you know, if you're in an adulterous affair, or, you know, you're living in sin, you know, having sexual relations and such, and you're not married, you know, that's a sin. The world says, oh, no, that's okay to do. Go ahead, you can do it. It doesn't matter. You just go right ahead. And so our pride goes along with the world. And so we won't admit that we're doing something wrong, because if we do, well, then we have to do something about it, right?
That's right.
If we admit that we're in sin, whatever it might be, using drugs, alcohol, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, you know, anything. It doesn't really matter. It's like the food distribution down there. You know, people, you know, when people reach in and take a little extra, they're not supposed to. It's a sin. It's a sin. But their pride tells them it's okay. Their pride says, hey, this is me, and I'm more important than everybody else, and it don't matter, because I'm going to get what I got coming. And what they really got coming is burning in hell if they don't change their ways, if they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the thing is, you know, a lot of you, many of us have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I had. Many years ago I did. But I still sinned. But the difference was, is I had the Holy Spirit in me then. And when I did commit that sin, then it didn't feel good anymore. It was like, well, there's no pleasure in it. Well, why is that? Well, it's because I had Jesus with me, and he was convicting me. And that's what I'm telling you today. As we're talking about this, you have to write down on those notes what you need to change. Which of those things is pride keeping you bound up in? You know, it's important. It's important. But there are many things that you can be bound up in as far as sin goes. You know, you can be holding a grudge against somebody and not forgiving them. And because they wronged you. But let me tell you something. The day we were each born, we wronged Jesus. We wronged him. When Adam and Eve partook of the fruit in the garden and was disobedient and fell into sin, we all were there, even though we weren't born. And we don't deserve the forgiveness, but he gives it to us because he loves us. And with that, I'm going to move on to Proverbs 18:8-3. It says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. With humility, listen to this, with humility comes wisdom. Amen. Comes wisdom. Because you see, that's the other thing that pride does, is it keeps us from from learning. It keeps us from growing. It keeps us, when it talks about keeping us bound up, it keeps us where we are. And as Christians, we're not supposed to stay where we are. We're supposed to grow and move forward. That's why Celebrate Recovery is such a wonderful program, because other than AA or NA, I like NA and I like AA because I couldn't have made it without them. But the problem is they become secular programs and they stay stuck. And that's what I didn't like about it after I was going for a while. It's like, well, do I ever get to move forward out of the past, or do I have to live in the past all my life and beat myself up for things that I had done to people, or that I had done to people I loved, to people I didn't like? I mean, it was like, oh, I just got to. And that's what pride does. It keeps us stuck. It keeps us bound up. Whereas with Celebrate Recovery, because Jesus Christ is the head of that, it is about Jesus Christ. You can move forward with growth because you can come and you can talk about the things that I'm asking you to write down, that you need to change, that you need the sin that you need to get out of. You can do that. But you can do that here today too. All right? I mean, humility, here's the thing. In Galatians 5, all right? In Galatians 5, it gives us an idea about what the kind of things you can have with humility. And that is, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, let me ask you, in Galatians 5 it says, pride keeps you in sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now, there was a time in my life when I would have went along with that because it sounded like a lot of fun. But a lot of things that we sin, a lot of sin is fun. But it holds you bondage. It holds you bondage. When I accepted the Lord, and I started to clean up my life, and I started to make amends to people, and I started forgiving people, and I paid my bills, and I did all the things I was supposed to do, I could walk down the street like this. Before that, I had to walk down the street like this. But I thought I was having fun. I thought I was having fun, but I was really in bondage. I was really in bondage. So which would you prefer? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Or would you rather have all that other junk in your life? That's your choice. That's your choice. And on that note sheet, I asked two questions. I asked on it, which of those things that are keeping you in bondage with your pride do you need to give up? And the second question was, in your humility, what are you missing? What don't you have? Do you not have peace? Do you not have joy? I have so much peace and joy. Now, I have to admit, last week before the wedding and everything, it was a little chaotic. And on Monday, I have to admit, on Monday I had, there was at least 15 different times that I had to stop during the day and pray and ask God to come and help me. You see, that's part of humility. And when it says the body of Christ, this is the body of Christ right here. Now, most of you, a lot of you have heard me speak before. A lot of you have heard my testimony. Now, I have no secrets. I have no secrets. I am an open book. I can talk to anybody about anything, personal or whatever, because everybody already knows. And you see what a freedom that is? And this is the place right here. Right here in this church, you should be able to do that. And yesterday, Aaron, he spoke at the men's group, and he talked about how iron sharpens iron, and he talked about and I'm gonna share a little bit. What he talked about, the people in the church, the men in the church that have lifted him up and encouraged him, and that he could go to and talk to and share things with. And that's what happens when you have humility. You seek out people in the church that you can talk to, that you can reach out to. My wife, in her observance, said, you know, the men do great here, but there's not a lot with the women. So I'm gonna challenge you women here, because of that, to begin reaching out to each other. Begin sharing with each other. Begin to open up with each other. Share those deep, dark secrets that you want to get rid of. Because I'm going to tell you, if you have something prideful that's keeping you in bondage, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, I can handle this, me and God's got it, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not you and God. It's you and the devil that's got it. Because the devil wants to keep you in bondage. But God, he wants you to be free. He wants to set you free. He wants you to be able to walk down the street like this. Hey, everybody, here I am. See, I'm pretty cool, right? I don't have any secrets. Oh, yeah, that. Oh, yeah, I used to do that. I don't do that no more. Oh, yeah, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I don't have to be ashamed, because you know what? I gave my burdens over to Jesus Christ. And he's helped me to make amends with all the people I messed up with. He's helped me to be able to forgive people. And that's what humility is about. It's not a prideful thing. Now, there are certain things you can be proud of, and I didn't put those on my list and stuff, because otherwise I'd be talking till 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. But, no, I think I'm doing pretty good here. I think that usually, oh, yeah, I'm doing good, see. So I got a whole lot of time, but listen, your life is so much easier if you have the spirit of love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. See that last thing, that self-control? That's what pride doesn't give us. But many times we think, in our pride, that we are in control. I'm telling you, by golly, this is a dark blue box. See? That's self-control. That's prideful self-control. What, Pastor Paul? It's light blue? Oh, well, maybe I should look at that again. Let me rethink that. Oh, it is. Oh, wow. That's cool. See, I don't have to fight with anybody about it anymore. Right? Because it's light blue. Even though I could have swore 2 minutes ago it was dark blue, right? But if I let my pride take over, I'm going to continue insisting. And I'm using the dark blue as an example to worse things. Like, I don't care, that guy hurt me, and I don't care. I'm never going to forgive him. I'm never going to let it go. Well, you know what? If that's your attitude and your pride has got you like that, you're going to be in bondage to that forever. And the person you're angry at, they're free as a bird. They don't even know. They don't even know. So I'm just saying that humility and pride and humility, they fight. Your pride always wants to win out. It's like the darkness and the light. If the devil could blow out the light, he would. Because then we'd always be in darkness. So I'm gonna move on here to Philippians 2:2-4. It said, "Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others." Does that sound like pride? Or does that sound like humility? You know, we I have a heart for people. My wife has a heart for people. We love to help people. We love to share the word. And sometimes my pride will get in the way. Sometimes I'll not want to help somebody. Sometimes I'll think of my own selfish greed. But whenever I am, like Roki, gave up to the Lord, said, okay, God, here's the $5, buddy. You know, when God is calling you, when God is telling you something, that's why I want you to write down on those notes. They're personal notes. They're to yourself. They're not for anybody else to see, unless you want to, unless you want to come and say, hey, Pastor Dave, I'm going to share this with you because it's been a burden. Or you might, if you're a woman, you might want to go to Gail or somebody. You know, I need to share this. I need to share with somebody. I need to get rid of this burden. And you can't do it just with you if you think you have God and he's helping you with it. Because God works through us. We need the fellowship. We need each other. We need Jesus first, then we need each other. He said, where two or more are gathered, he's there with you. He didn't say, where just one is gathered, I'll be with you. Because I'm going to tell you, when you're all by yourself like that, you're in the darkness and the devil's got you. Because you cannot defeat him without Jesus Christ. And if you have another person with you, and you have this other person that you're sharing with, they can be praying for you. Prayer is so powerful. I'm not a prayer warrior, but my wife is, and I'm really thankful for that because I know that she's saved me from a lot. So the next verse that I wanted to go over with you is John 13, 34 through 35. And Jesus said this, a new command I give you. All right, now listen, love one another. All right, that doesn't mean that, well, I'm mad at that person. That doesn't mean you still got to love them. Love one another, it says. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, that's a tall order, isn't it? Love one another as I have loved you. Would you die for the person sitting next to you today? Would you take a bullet for him? Because that's what Jesus did for you. He died for you. Each one of you, he died for. And he's saying right here, it's not a suggestion. It's not a, will you do this? It says, a new command I give you. Now, this is our God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, this is him talking to you, not Pastor Dave. This is Jesus Christ saying to you, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And that's what I was talking about on Facebook. You know, if you're a Christian, you're posting stuff on Facebook, post something positive. Post some love. Let them know about Jesus Christ and who he is. You know, and love one another. In other words, you know, so many times I see in my walk with the Lord, I've seen families just come apart because of pride. You know, somebody maybe had an affair. Somebody maybe said something wrong to somebody or somebody said something to somebody else and it wasn't quite true. And rather than come together and discuss it and talk about it, oh, we'd rather just hang on to it and stay bitter all of our life, and then the conflict just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon it ends up in divorce. Or it ends up some other way. But the problem with that is whoever is in that situation, their whole family is kept bound. Because they won't let go of their pride. They won't say, okay, well, the affair was bad. Yeah, it was. But you know what? My behavior is bad too. My behavior is bad too. Because I won't forgive. I won't talk about it. I want to hang on to the bitterness. I want to keep bringing up the past rather than move forward to the future. And pride is what keeps us there. Our pride. Because, I'm hurt. I don't care. I'm hurt. And by golly, if I'm hurt, everybody's going to hurt. Selfish. 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 It's selfish. Because I'm hurt, I got to make everybody else hurt. How is that? That only comes through pride. It doesn't come through humility. Jesus said, a new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, I met a homeless guy down at Seaport Village this week. My wife had a shirt on that said Faith, and he saw her. He's not here today. I don't think. I don't see him. Okay. But, you know, and she called me on the phone because I was walking around with Armand, and she's, Dave, I got this guy. He wants to talk to a pastor. I said, okay. So I go over and meet him, and I talk to him. And he asked me, he said, well, Pastor, is Jesus alive? Is he real? I said, absolutely, he's real. Absolutely. So I visited with him, and he was hungry. And I maybe got conned. I don't know. But we went over and bought him some dinner. And I told him about the church, and I told him about the men's breakfast, and he was staying over here in Balboa Park. And I asked him, I said, do you want to have Jesus in your heart? He said, yes, I do. So I prayed with him. He prayed and asked Jesus to come to his heart. And I told him, I said, well, and I call him Mr. T because I can't pronounce his name. I said, if you were sincere about that, Jesus will take care of you. He'll watch out for you. And I said, here's $5. That should be more than enough to catch the bus here on Saturday. He said, well, and he said, I don't have an alarm clock. I said, well, all right. Give me your phone number. I'll call you. And I called him at 6 o'clock yesterday morning because he wanted me to call him at 6. Gave him his wake-up call. And he didn't show up. And he didn't show up here today. And as I was talking to him about coming, he was making all kinds of excuses why he couldn't. Well, what if I don't know the bus ride. I said, look, Mr. T, there's two ways you can look at this. And I'm going to tell you all, there's two ways you can look at this. You can admit that you're prideful and you got some things you got to take care of. Or you can make excuses why you don't need to. And that's what I told him. I said, you know, you're sitting here talking about all the reasons you may not be able to make it. When what you should be talking about is the different ways that you can make it. You see, sometimes we have to change the way we think. And in Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you renew your mind right here. Here's how you renew your mind. You renew your mind through this. You renew your mind through the body of Christ. When you come to one of us here or a friend and you trust them and you say, look, I got this thing I've been dealing with forever. And it's holding me bondage. And I cannot let it go. Because I'm so embarrassed and so ashamed to talk to anybody about it. And that's pride. That's the devil. That's the devil whispering in your ear, going, well, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. We can take care of that. You don't have to do that. Just the opposite of what God is telling you. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart and you have that Holy Spirit in you, right now He's saying to you, share that. Get it out. Expose it to the light so you can be set free. Dave, would you like to come up? The last scripture I want to talk about here is Matthew 11, 28 and 30 through 30. And this is what Jesus said. Again, you know, the first one, He gave you a new command. He said, command you to love one another. And the only thing that's going to keep you from doing that is your pride. That's what's going to keep you from doing that. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, He says this, come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For My yoke is easy and My burden is light. That burden that you're carrying today, that sin that you have, that you know in your heart that the Holy Spirit is telling you, I need to give up. That's what Jesus is talking about. You come to Him. And what I'm saying to you is if you come to Him, but you come to Him with somebody that can pray for you, that can help you, that will listen to you and be confidential. You see, the thing, you know, sometimes the reason people don't share things is because they don't trust. So we have to be trustworthy. I've had people come to me with all kinds of different things, and I keep them confident. But I can pray for them. And when they come to, when they have come to me and shared that, they were set free. They were set free. So I'm asking you right now just to, you know, just to think about pride. Think about humility. And the Galatians scriptures, think about which one seems better. Doesn't peace and joy sound so much better than envy and jealousy and anger? Okay. So I'm not as good at this as Pastor Bob, but I am going to have the worship, praise and worship team come up. And I am going to ask you, if you have something you want to pray about, you can come up here and kneel down and we'll pray with you. If it's a lady, we'll try and find a lady to pray with you. Maybe my wife can pray with you. But if you have a burden that you need, lift it. Come up and pray. And just come on up, kneel down while the praise and worship team is singing, and we'll come and pray with you.